Okay, if everybody can hear me now, we are going to call the meeting to order at 3:02. And today, well, let's go ahead and do a roll call.
Denise?
Here.
Paul? Paul?
Is that better?
Yeah. Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
She said she might not be able to dial in.
Oh. Warren?
Here.
Chris?
Yes. Here.
Brenda?
Here.
Haley? Pam?
Here.
Tom?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. On the staff side, here in Sandpoint, we have myself, Tina, and Emil. King Cole.
It's Jackie and Roxanne.
Thank you. Anchorage.
This is Annie. Lenora.
Mark
here.
Who came on?
It's Daly, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Daly.
Morris here in Anchorage.
Okay.
Ernie, here.
Thank you, Ernie.
And Mark in Juneau.
Hi, Mark.
Mary and Charlotte, are you on?
Yep, I'm here. This is Mary.
Okay, thank you. So we have a quorum. I need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Denise. So moved to adopt the agenda. Carol.
Carol moved to adopt the agenda, and Denise second.
Denise, I'll second. Yep.
And Mr. Mayor, I move to amend the agenda, please. Thank you.
Okay, Paul.
The amendment would be to add three discussion items after new business, perhaps. And your short agenda items, just so the public knows we're going to talk about them at a certain time. The first one is the Cold Bay Clinic bid. Number two would be a little discussion about the Cold Bay Airport Terminal. And the third one is a possible invitation to our processing partners in the near future at one of our meetings to give us updates on the processors. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
I got it right.
I may.
Hang on a minute. Just so I got it right, Paul, one would be the Cold Bay Clinic, two would be the Cold Bay Terminal, and three would be to invite processors to the table. Correct?
To give us an update, yes. Thank you.
Okay, do we have a second?
Denise, I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Denise. So, any other additions or corrections to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, can you hear me? This is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah, I just don't want to lose sight of this hydro project. Can we include some discussion on that and on the agenda?
If
my second doesn't mind, I could friendly amendment added to the second degree, Mr. Mayor.
Second degree?
Yes.
Okay, so number four would be Wells Pass Hydro Project. Okay with you, Tom?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, so that's included as a friendly amendment to the amendment, I guess. Any other corrections or addition comments? Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. This is Jennifer LeMay with LeMay Engineering and Consulting, and I don't have a copy of the agenda in front of me, but I'd like to make sure that the 2021 Hazard Mitigation Plan update is on the agenda.
It is, and as soon as we get the agenda, I'm sorry you don't have a copy.
Oh, that's okay.
It's on the borough website.
Yeah, it's on, but it is on our website,
oh, okay.
Too. Sorry somebody never sent it to you. But anyway, you guys are up here really shortly as soon as I get this agenda adopted.
Great, thank you.
Okay, but thanks for letting me know. Okay, if there's nothing else, if there's no objections, the agenda will stand with four additions, the Cold Bay Clinic, the Cold Bay Terminal, invite to processors, and number four, the False Pass Hydro Project. Hearing no objection, the agenda stands as amended. Laura, do you have any public comments at this time?
We would have to vote on the agenda as amended, too, wouldn't we, Alvin? Perhaps.
I just added them in, and I figured if there was no objections to this, but we can if you'd rather do it that way.
Your choice, that's fine. That's what you're doing. Thank you.
I think it's fine the way it is. Okay. So, Laura.
No comments at this time.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're down to item four, presentation. So we have Jennifer LeMay here to talk about hazard mitigation planning process. So I will turn it over to you, Jennifer, if you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also invited J.J. Little from the State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. J.J., are you on the line? Okay. The state of Alaska has acquired a grant from FEMA to update the Aleutians East Borough Hazard Mitigation Plan in early 2021. This update is needed because FEMA regulations require that hazard mitigation plans are updated every 5 years, and the borough's plan expired in 2015. I understand that there was an attempt to update the hazard mitigation plan in early 2020 that didn't go anywhere, and so I've been hired to guide the borough through this process, and the period of performance on our contract will expire in June. And so I just would like everyone to be aware that there's this opportunity to update the plan now, and I would like to know which jurisdictions plan on participating. I guess I'll go through my slides and then we can discuss that at the end. Hazard mitigation, as defined by Title 44 of the Code of Federal Regulations, is any action taken to reduce or eliminate the long-term risk to human life and property from natural hazards. The state in 2018 revised their hazard mitigation plan, and so man-made hazards are no longer allowed like they were prior to 2018. And the whole point of updating this plan and talking about hazard mitigation in general is that We want to minimize the impact of any type of hazard event before it occurs. So we want to reduce losses now from future disasters. And in a nutshell, the process is looking at the 2010 plan and making sure that the hazards identified and profiled are still relevant to the Aleutians East Borough, and then updating information about the people and facilities that have the potential to be at risk, and then updating the mitigation actions that were proposed in 2010, and also looking at current needs now and proposing new ones. All of these mitigation actions can include a wide variety of strategies from planning, policy changes, programs, projects, and other activities. And the nice thing that I like about hazard mitigation is it is the only phase of emergency management that is specifically dedicated to breaking the cycle of damage reconstruction and repeated damage. I have a proposed schedule that I can share later once I find out which jurisdictions want to participate, and just that'll be important in keeping us on schedule so that we can complete this update and get it approved by the state and FEMA and still allow time for the different jurisdictions to adopt it in June before the period of performance expires. The state planner is J.J. Little, and the state hazard mitigation officer is Terrence Murphy. And again, I'm Jennifer LeMay. I'm the contractor hired to assist the Aleutians East Borough, and my son Shannon will also be assisting me. He graduates on Saturday from college with his degree in civil engineering, and he's excited to join my team full time. As of 2010, the hazards that were applicable for the Aleutians East Borough were changes to the cryosphere, earthquake, flood erosion, severe weather, tsunami, volcanoes, and the one that was not applicable back then is ground failure, and also wildlands. Fires were not included in the last plan, but there had been some interest expressed earlier this year about adding fires to the 2021 update. So I'm open for questions now. I just gave you a little taste because I know you have a lot of items on your agenda for today, but what I would like coming out of this brief introduction to hazard mitigation planning is you know, the hazards that are of concern to the Aleutians East Borough, and then I understand that there's multiple jurisdictions, and the Aleutians East Borough is welcome to participate in the update of their plan as a jurisdiction, and then each of the six local communities are also eligible to participate, and then where the community of King Cove is also a tribal village, they can participate, or they can develop their own plan and go straight to FEMA, although it does make most sense for them to participate with the borough. So with that, I'll open it to questions.
This is Chris. I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the first plan that the borough did many years ago, and I'm kind of, as part of my job in King Cove, is emergency manager of King Cove. And I've been working with the state for a long time with helping to design small hazard mitigation plans for the smaller communities such as ours. And So I'm excited for this. I think we should add the fire side back on there. I know we had some stuff happen over in Accutan, we saw what happened over in Dutch Harbor, and so we're not immune to that kind of stuff. And as far as King Cole, the tribal, I think you actually met Nelson Lagoon as a tribal.
Oh, okay.
King Cole was a first-class city, but Nelson Lagoon would be the tribal one. And I'm very interested in entering in the city of King Cove also into this hazard mitigation too. So I'll be getting in touch with you on how we can do that for the city also.
Great. Thank you for your feedback, and thanks for correcting me. I did mean to say Nelson Lagoon.
Okay. Annie, did you have anything you wanted to add to this part?
No, but Jennifer, thank you for coming in and presenting to us as a group. This process actually was started almost 2 years ago, and then it didn't get to completion. And so Jennifer's now been hired to help get this all the way through. So Jennifer, if that's okay, I'll be in contact with you to set up meetings with all the communities to see who's interested in participating. Do that
okay.
Tomorrow.
Thank you, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I have one question, I have to have the answer to it. What does cryosphere mean?
It's all the places in the atmosphere or the earth that water could start. So it includes the air, rivers, the ocean, groundwater, permafrost, any area where water can be impacted, whether it's rising temperatures, more precipitation, thawing permafrost. Those are the main areas I see that.
Okay. Very good. I understand. So, Assembly, you have any more comments or questions for Jennifer? Okay. Jennifer, you had anything else you needed to add?
No, that's it. I'll be in touch with Annie, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on and presenting to us. So
Thank you very much.
You bet. So we have the next item is our AEB 2021 legislative presentation, and we have our lobbyist, Mark Hickey, online. Mark?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon. Am I coming through okay?
You are.
Okay. Sometimes these headphones go south on me, so just interrupt and I'll switch. Good afternoon, everyone. I provided a PDF file of a PowerPoint. I'm assuming that's in people's files, and I'm not going to go through each part of it. I'm going to hit some highlights and then answer your questions. A lot of what I'm going to tell you, you're seeing in the newspaper, and knowing all of you, you're up to speed on our situation. Going to slide two, let me just make sure, Annie, that folks have this in front of them, at least the Assembly.
They've been given the packet link, so it's in the packet, so they should have it.
Okay. Well, stop me if I'm not making sense because of people don't have the slides. And this is a condensed version of what I've given you during the in-person meetings. I figured this would be a little easier to follow. State reserves balanced by year. And what I really want to focus on is where we're at today. We are in FY, fiscal year 21, so the bar all the way to the right. And what it shows, the orange is the statutory budget reserve. That's gone. The blue is the state's main savings account constitutional budget reserve. At the end of this current year, our current fiscal year, that will be empty, essentially. And all that will be left for reserves will be the earnings reserve account and the permanent fund, which is the green bar. So this continuum of spending our piggy banks has continued, and we're now going into next year's budget, which will be put together this session, FY22, without any other savings. The earnings reserve is what we have. I'm going to move to slide 3, and you can come back and look at this on your own. I gave you this last year. It's kind of interesting to see the permanent fund status. The graph or visual is from end of October, and actually it's interesting, in the last 2 months, the permanent fund's value as of December 1 has gone, total value, up $6 billion. As you know, we've had a big run up, and that's good. That's helped the permanent fund. Of course, that's everything, all that we can use for dividends and government is the earnings reserve account. And you'll see a figure there of $6.7 billion. You'll see a lot of variance in that figure because we're spending money each year. And so depending on how you do the reporting, it's a little hard to track. What you need to know is we can afford to spend about $3 billion a year out of the permanent fund reserves account. So right now we have anywhere from 2 or 3 years in our piggy bank. As long as they don't spend more than that $3 billion, in theory, we should continue to have that much available. But you'll see in a couple more slides, we still have pretty big problems because of other revenue and the debate about a full dividend. So probably more information you needed to hear. I just wanted to kind of give you a little context. Now we'll get into the meat of the matter. Current budget situation. I did a presentation last week, and at the end of it, I was told it sounded like the another version of other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. Our oil production's holding steady. Price is a little ahead of spring forecast. That's good. As I said earlier, our piggy banks will be empty for going into the new budget. And in the new budget year, which will be the budget they put together this session, if you pay a full dividend, there's about a $2.3 billion deficit, which is about 40%, or more than 40% of the total state general fund budget. If you pay no dividend, we still have a deficit of about $300 million, and I heard some updated numbers since I put this together, and it's actually a little higher than that. But just to give you a range, we're not going to do zero dividend. So basically, every dollar that you add to the dividend means you've got another dollar of budget cuts or dollar for new revenue, and you're looking at least $300 million shortfall and in reality, more, maybe $1 billion. Just an interesting note, the state, and this has been true for a while now, biggest source of revenue is our investment. If you add in spending on dividend, it's well over 50% of our annual general fund revenue is coming from primarily the permanent fund earnings. And Mr. Mayor, I'm going to just go through these, and I'm about halfway done to then get questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Slide, page 5, legislative organizations. You've been reading about this. We don't have organizations. The Senate is split. There are 13 Republicans, but at least 4 of those 13 traditionally haven't supported a full dividend. And most of the others do support a full dividend. So those, you know, normal year, 13 Republicans would organize, maybe add a Democrat. They haven't. Stay tuned. So we don't have a Senate organization. The House is a deja vu all over again. You might have read an article yesterday. Louise Stutes has announced she's going to stay with the Democrat and Independent, the current majority coalition, that our rep, Bryce Edgman, is the speaker. So we've got this one race that had a recount. Recount came out in favor of the Democrat. Now there's a lawsuit, but my guess is that's not going to change. So the House is deadlocked 2020 between people that want to be in the coalition that we've had up to now and Republicans. I'm learning behind the scenes that once the governor's budget comes out, which comes out by next Tuesday, we may see an announcement on an organization, and it will be, now I'm going to predict, I'm going to probably end up wrong because it's always bad to predict, but it's much more likely it's going to be the Democrats and Independents with a few Republicans, which has been very good in that things like major cuts in school funding and some of the other things that we care about, taking apart the PCE endowment, will be harder as long as at least one of the bodies is aligned as the House majority has been this last 2 years. Stay tuned. You may remember last time it took them into mid-February to get organized, and they're coming to town in January, and I guess going to stay and try to make it work with COVID and a closed Capitol. But clearly COVID's going to be a challenge, as it was the end of last session. Big sticking point is payment of the full dividend by full, what the statute requires versus what we've been doing, which is a set amount based on making sure there's money to support state government. So organization up in the air. Slide six. I won't spend too much time on this. I don't have your account number and whether you have a problem. Many districts on student count in October because of COVID are down. I think Anchorage is down 11% from last year in enrollment. That has a direct impact on school funding for the next budget year. That'll be a debate at this session. So there's a lot of talk about what to do about that, and I would expect some effort either to change the formula or at least come up with some one-time money to minimize the impact from COVID of lost enrollment. Unfortunately, with the bigger budget problem, this problem may not be the big issue, just holding on to what the formula would otherwise give you versus cuts in education funding would probably be a bigger debate. I just wanted to highlight that there's an understanding about the shortfall that's at least in several districts caused because of the drop in enrollment from due to COVID. Slide seven, I think most of you are in the loop on this. There's the reshaping work group. They give the governor their report. A big issue is the proposal to create some kind of a board, the maritime experience to help oversee marine highways. The plan, the recommendation was the governor could do this administratively, maybe by executive order. I'm hearing that's not going to be the case. They're going to recommend the legislature take this up as a statute. So we'll see if that happens. That's going to be at least a year, probably 2 year debate. We know there are recommendations to reduce change service, which is already down to 4 trips. From 12 a few years ago, so we'll need to fight that. And a big question is what they want to do about a new ocean-going ferry to replace the Tustee. Even though that's been funded a few years ago by the legislature, this administration put the project on hold. Vessel is pretty much designed, but right now that's on hold, and my best guess is that'll continue for a while. So that's another problem and issue that would affect our region considerably if we're down to only the Kennecott that can come out to our area, plus Kodiak, plus Prince William Sound, and runs down across the Gulf. Okay, last slide. This is the Mrs. Lincoln slide. What are we looking at for problems, the challenges? Probably nothing on this list that we haven't seen before. School debt reimbursement payment by the state. We haven't gotten that now, certainly this year, and a little fuzzy year before with a cut in half, but big problem, I know, for us and many boroughs. What are they going to do about public education funding, both just overall and because of student count cuts? There's talk about one thing that might happen, it would require a change in law, is to increase the local contribution requirement, the minimum local contribution that we have to provide. What's going to happen to community assistance funding, which is tied to PCE because of the way the fundings work? The last couple of years, we've had the same amount, but we need more money added or we will see a cut for the upcoming year. PC endowment. I guess the one bit of good news here, a lot of debate in the election about, help balance the budget by taking that money. To take out the money from the endowment, something has to happen, either an appropriation or a bill passed. So as long as, for example, there's a House majority, like I described, they can stand in the way of it. The governor can't do anything about that. What the governor can do is not support the appropriation for the annual payment that goes out to the communities that get PCE. So PCE, I think we'll get a lot of debate. Ray mentioned marine highways. I didn't talk about operating budget reductions, but I have to think we're going to have problems. Two ones we've seen before, I don't know this, but we have to be concerned about trying to take away the shared state fishery taxes that we get and rely on. That was something tried 2 years ago, didn't go anywhere. Nothing proposed this current year, but we'll see. And then finally, trying to change the contribution rates or the amount of money the state pays for PERS and TERS. Mr. Mayor, I'm going to stop there. I know I kind of went quickly and covered a whole bunch of things, but I'm happy to answer questions as best I can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Questions from the Assembly? None?
Well, you can't let me off that easy.
Well, apparently you shocked them. Yeah, I don't like any of this, but I like the way you put it together. And I think the borough, we're going to have some discussions at some point here on especially when they form the coalitions and find out which side is going to take over in both the House and the Senate. Maybe we can get a better idea of what we'll think they'll get cut and what will survive. One of the things we're also doing in-house as far as power cost equalization is staff led by Laura is putting a white paper together that we're going to make available to all concerned in Juneau, knowing that there's lots of new legislators and lots of them that are there, weren't there when this all started. So we're going to go back from day one till today to kind of, I don't know if it'll help or not, but it can't hurt to explain to them exactly how this got to where it is today. I know everybody that's on the road system seems to want to empty that out. And, that's pretty... When you're short of money, $1 billion is a pretty good take if you can get it. So, Anyway, I appreciate your report. Annie, do you have any questions?
Well, no, but thank you, Mark, for this very uplifting presentation. it depresses me greatly. But, I think Alvin's correct, or my respect's correct, that we just need to keep an eye on this, and you're very helpful in that regard, and just keep a pulse on where we're at. Every single item you've mentioned on slide 8 will affect the borough or our community's revenue source greatly. So we'll just be keeping an eye on it and lobbying where we can. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And, Mr. Mayor, if I can just say very quickly, the governor's budget, as I mentioned, will be out. Whether it's the complete budget, I expect it'll be a fair bit of detail, and I'll be able to report on that. So we will shortly. We will see our first indication of what at least the governor is now thinking about, which is kind of the opening salvo in the budget debate. That's about the debate to come.
Okay. Yeah, I think his report comes out on the 14th. I believe.
Probably. By law, it has to be the 15th, and maybe they've already scheduled a press conference. I don't know.
AML is supposed to have a meeting at 2:30 on the 14th on the governor's budget. So,
okay.
We'll see. Okay, if one last go-around for the assembly. Does anybody have a question? Okay. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate all the work.
You bet. And I'm going to jump because I had another commitment, but I can get back on if a question comes up, Annie, if you just text me.
Sounds good. Thanks,
okay.
Mark.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is, does anybody feel like they might or will have a conflict of interest to anything that's on the agenda before them? Now would be a good time. Okay. I need a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the November 12th meeting.
I'll make a motion. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
I'll second it, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Does anybody have any corrections or additions to the minutes? Tina?
There's a typo on the first line. Typo due to my copy and pasting. It's already been corrected in my original. So you notice that. It's already been corrected. It says October, but it should be November.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as corrected. Thank you. We need a motion and a second to bring the financial report to the floor, October financial.
This is Chris. I make a motion. We bring the financial reports to the floor.
Thank you.
Second, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So before you use the October 2020 financials, this is our fourth month out of the fiscal year. So we are tracking along as we should. So two things I'd like to highlight, which I've been doing at the last couple meetings, is the raw fish tax. As of October, we are at about 61% of what we have been over the last 5 years. The five-year average, we're about 61% of what we normally get. And also, so that's overall. And then for just the fish tax we received in October, we're at 72%. Also, just to point out on the CARES Act funding, that is reflected throughout this in certain areas. So, for instance, if you look at the administration salary line item, That is about at 11%, which is normally around 34%, but we've been able to offset some of those costs with the CARES Act funding, so those are lower than they typically would be because of all the time and effort that staff members have been putting into this. So I just wanted to point that out. Other than that, we're tracking along as we should. And, yeah, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie?
Mr. Baird, I know if Roxanne has any comments, too, I wouldn't mind hearing some if you had any or not. That's fine. Either way.
Roxanne?
Nothing here.
Thank you. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda? Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you for that. In your packet for your review is the October investment report. Annie, you have any comments?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, I just wanted to let you know I looked at the balance of that account this morning. As of December 10th, the value of the permanent funds, $43,051,210. So I just wanted to let you know that it is quite a bit higher than what was reflected in October.
Very good. Any questions or comments on the investment report? Hearing none. I need a motion and a second for the consent agenda. We have three items on the consent agenda.
This is Brenda. Make a motion to bring the consent agenda to forward.
Thank you.
I'll second that. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. So, Annie, would you like to go through the consent agenda?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck in Assembly. The first resolution is Resolution 21-25, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dow to perform a King Cove Delta Creek mitigation study in an amount not to exceed $29,500. Delta Creek is located in King Cove, is near the King Cove Road and King Cove Airport. Delta Creek has been prone to flooding and may negatively impact the road, which is owned by the borough, and also impact the airport. In order to prevent damage, the borough would like to address permitting and flooding mitigation along Delta Creek. On August 7th, 2020, Dow conducted a reconnaissance study or site visit and erosion assessment of the conditions of Delta Creek, which we're calling Phase 1. Per the site visit, Dow recommends that the borough reach out to agencies, specifically the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the Army Corps of Engineers, to permit the existing work and apply for permits for maintenance at the bridge. They also recommend that once the plan for maintenance has been discussed, a longer-term plan should be considered. In the packet is their proposal, but essentially they perform a hydrologic analysis. They create an existing hydraulic model from the survey data they collected in Phase 1, and then a bunch of other things with coordination with the permitting agencies and submitting permits on behalf of the borough. So with that, the funds for this are available in the project contingency line item, and administration recommends approval. Are there any questions on that?
Oh, hey, one quick one. When that road was originally built, there had to have been a ton of studies. We can't use the original studies that we used to construct the road.
I'm sure we could look at those, but a lot of things have changed since then with the flow of the river and everything. So that road was built quite a few years ago. So we can definitely try to get a hold of those. I believe the state has that information, but I think some of the conditions have changed that it needs to be reassessed.
Good.
Any other questions? Okay, the next two resolutions I'll let Tina talk about. Do you mind? Tina?
I had her muted.
Yeah, sorry. I was talking away.
Any questions?
No, someone stepped me up. So I'm going to be reviewing Resolution 21-26 and 21-27 together. These are the Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program resolutions. The state of Alaska levies taxes on fishery resources processed or exported from Alaska. The state allocates a share of the state fish tax collected outside the municipal boundaries with the communities affected by the fishing industry activities. This is based on 2019 fisheries activities. The municipalities in the borough's fisheries management area agreed to an alternative method for the allocation since the inception of the program, and so this year as well. Everybody is in agreement. Below are the resolutions. So Resolution 21-26 is for the fisheries management area 2, which is all the municipalities within West FMA 2 or west of UNMAC, and they receive an equal share of 60% of the program receipts. The eligible cities will share the remaining 40% of the funding allocation per capita basis. And so that totals about 111,000 plus. Resolution 21-27 is for FMA 3, and that is east of UNIMAC, which will share equally 40%. The remaining 60% will be divided amongst the eligible cities based on a per capita basis, which allocation for the borough is about 1,500. Any questions?
Questions for Tina? Okay. Hearing none. Call a question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried.
Thank you. So before us, we have Emergency Ordinance 21-07, issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. And Assembly, remember, as an emergency ordinance, it just takes one reading. So I need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I make that motion.
Thank you.
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Sorry, I can unmute. Yes, so before you use Ordinance 2107, this is once again another emergency ordinance in regards to COVID-19. You keep passing these every meeting. I apologize. These are only effective for 60 days, and how our schedule's falling, I can't make it through for two meetings because it always expires before that time. So this once again just establishes an emergency ordinance. The effect, this is in effect until February 7th. 2021. And Tina, once again, could you correct that in section 6 on the third page? I forgot the 2021 on there, but this will allow us to do meetings as such as we are, amongst other things, with requesting state and federal assistance.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, two quick ones. Annie, there's no changes from the last one, kind of basically same thing.
Correct. It is. I kind of wordsmithed a few things a little differently to make it a little bit more concise, but there's been nothing drastic changed on this thing, just a few clerical items.
Is that Mr. Mayor, because it doesn't really affect this, but it's about the COVID thing in general. But we're getting close to vaccine time, so I think perhaps next meeting or February meeting, we probably should have something in writing about what is required of our employees. Can we require them to get a vaccine or maybe not? Or there's travel questions of what employees can or can't do if the vaccine comes. We probably should review that pretty soon. But it's not immediate, but pretty close to immediate concern about how that's going to work. And we know our office is open. We're going to start talking about that pretty soon. But thanks.
Okay, Paul. Yeah, good questions. I think as we go down this road, I mean, they're talking about like maybe next week there might be vaccines available somewhere in the state of Alaska, but we don't know where exactly yet. And legality of making somebody stick a needle in their arm, not sure about that. We'll have to check on that one. Any other comments or questions?
Alvin, this is Chris.
Go ahead.
I still want to try to see if we can still open it up to getting to allowing the public to dial in somehow. I appreciate what Laura's doing with getting the emails and stuff, but I think we need to have a better open channel for community members to get online or get in with their voice instead of email. And as far as Paul with you can't make somebody have a vaccine, so that's going to have to just be up to their discretion there. So, but thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that we talk about every meeting or every other one. You know, with this COVID-19, I think we're doing probably the best that we're capable of doing with the type of technology we have. I think it would probably get really expensive to do what you want to do, but we could look at it again. But, you know, it's just the times that we're in, and hopefully this is going to end by midsummer maybe, I hope. Paul, were you going to say something?
This is mentioning about the public again. That's very important, but whatever we can or can't do as far as employees, we have to put them in writing so we know what, you know, we can't just have ex parte communication or we need it in writing, whatever we're going to do. Thanks.
Okay. So, and if you have some ideas on what we think we should do, maybe you could send them to Annie.
I don't. Thanks.
Any other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Josie?
I'm sorry, were you calling me?
Yes. A roll call.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Motion carries.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Before us, we have Resolution 2124 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an aquatic farm lease. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I bring the motion to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Annie, do you want to take this or Charlotte?
I'll defer to Charlotte. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Resolution 2124 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute an aquatic farm lease with the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources for the AEB Health Mariculture Project. So the borough identified diversifying natural resources as a priority through the annual strategic planning process. As part of the strategic track, the borough is exploring seaweed mariculture feasibility by developing a pilot farm, pilot commercial farm. Initial funding from NIFWIF was awarded to site and permit a farm, which we have done, and additional funding from National Sea Grant was obtained to construct and operate the pilot farm. Intended use of the pilot farm includes, but is not limited to, testing a variety of local species for cultivation, training and demonstration, and mariculture research. The borough applied for an aquatic farm lease and operating permit with the State of Alaska DNR for a 9.99-acre plot of state-owned tide and submerged lands in Zachary Bay, just outside Sandpoint. The DNR conditionally approved the permit for a 10-year term and provided a lease agreement outlining the stipulations and the $1,575 annual fee. This has been reviewed and approved by Borough Attorney Joe Levesque. The borough has historically taken the position that in cases where the transfer of land is government to government, the acquisition may be accomplished by resolution. With that, the administration recommends approval of Resolution 2024, and I will take any questions. Thank you.
Questions for Charlotte?
Mr. Mayor, I'd be in line for a question, whatever.
Go ahead, Paul.
Now, I'm a little hesitant about approving it just personally because yesterday I read that the Trident title on lease in Kodiak got denied. And I haven't been able to read about the reasons it was denied, but it may or may not have some effect. You know, anyway, I need to know a little more before I'm going to vote for it. But, maybe Charlotte's aware of why that permit was denied, but I'd like to see the writing too. But, thank you.
Okay. Charlotte, I don't know if you know anything about the lease in Kodiak with Trident.
Yeah, Mayor Osterbach, if I may. So I've actually talked to Trident about this. They contacted me when they were having issues originally, I'll just note that the permit application that I assisted Trident with was actually in Sandpoint. The one in Kodiak they went ahead with and realized very quickly that they had put it in a very popular bay that had a lot of conflicting uses and was not appropriate for a kelp farm site. So actually, Shannon Carroll called me directly to let me know about that issue and that they would probably be looking at a different site. And obviously not moving forward with that site in Kodiak. And so I'm not sure if that answers your question. That's what I know about it. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. So I would recommend going ahead with it because unless we get to the point of negotiating with the state and finding out whether or not they're going to approve it, if they don't approve it, we'd have to move it, but we can't get there until we do this. So I don't see the benefit of tabling it or not approving it. So anyway, does anybody else have any comments on this?
Mayor,
I do, Mr. Mayor. Tom here.
Who was the first one? Tom, hold off a minute. Somebody else was on there. You guys were talking together, so. Who was the other person?
I'm sorry, Mayor Osterbach. It's Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to make a quick comment. So I just wanted to clarify so that this lease document is actually the final lease. The state and Department of Fish and Game have thoroughly reviewed our application, and they've gone through to make sure that this is a suitable site. So they've included stipulations from Fish and Game about how to appropriately use this lease space. So once this lease is approved, then it is now officially approved by all of the required agencies to go ahead with a farm. So this is kind of the final step. I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Tom?
Yeah, I don't fish that area, but I'm just kind of curious if this wouldn't interfere with some fishing operations there in the area. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that question.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to respond really quickly. So that was actually part of the review process is, we went through and looked at all of the potential conflicts, and we do plan on pulling the gear out of the water every summer so that there won't be any salmon fishing conflicts. And I talked to multiple fishermen about that, and they assured me that as long as we pull out the gear, which we had already planned to do, there shouldn't be any major conflicts. Thank you.
In Charlotte, correct me if I'm wrong, but the grow season for kelp is early spring?
Thank you for that question, Mayor Osterbach. So actually, the way it works is that the lines are outplanted in the fall, and they grow through the winter. And then they're harvested in the spring before salmon fishing starts.
Okay. Thank you for that. Other questions? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes. Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Tulsi?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you for that. We're down to old business. We don't have any at this time. So under new business, first item up is strategic plan quarter three update. Danny?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. I won't go in this in too much detail, but our quarter three for this current planning cycle ended on November 30th, 2020. So in the packet is an update on all the strategic initiatives along with the vision navigation chart with the bubbles filled in and or moved. This year, due to COVID-19, unfortunately, a lot of these projects did have to shift due to other priorities, but as we've discussed in the strategic planning cycle, many of these will just be moving over to next year. With that, a lot of items have been completed in the fisheries advocacy line item. Ernie and Charlotte have been working very hard at that, as well as with fisheries research and others. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie? Because we just spent 3 hours to tweak this. Okay, thank you, Annie. So we had four items added to new business. So the first one under there is Cold Bay Clinic discussion. Paul, since you put that on there, would you like to start?
Sure, I'll keep it really brief. I'm kind of disappointed that we're not going to be able to find a way to go out to bid again, revise it a little bit. But I wasn't clear, Mary, when you gave the amount, what was the amount available for the project?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Assemblymember Gruntholz, Mayor Osterbach, and Assembly. So kind of an overview of the funding we have available and the funding we anticipated. So we anticipated we needed approximately $4.8 million for this project to construct in 2021. And this included all three alternatives, architecture and engineering fees, and a 20% contingency, which is pretty common for projects of this size that we typically do. So of that 4.8, we have $4.7 million remaining for the project, and that includes the remaining contract amount we have for LCG. So that doesn't include a contingency because the base bid came back at $4.7 million. So we do have the money for the base bid, but that doesn't come close to covering the contingency that we would like to have, and it also doesn't come close to what we would need for the alternatives that we would prefer. So bottom line, we have $4.7 million remaining for this project, and the base bid, lowest base bid, came back at $4.7 million. So again, that doesn't include a contingency or any of the alternatives that we were expecting to provide for this project.
Thank you. And then you answered the second question I had, which was a low bid. You said 4.7. And then the thing that bothered me most was, one of the things was it said bringing fill in. I can't imagine digging a hole for a foundation, building a clinic, and needing fill. It seemed like you would have fill from when you dug the hole to put a foundation. And I don't know why. It sounds crazy to me to have to bring in fill. Why is that required from outside?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks for that question. And it's a good one, and it's something that our project managers are exploring. We recently found out that there are three local sources for fill that they're looking at. One is a federal source. We don't think we'll be able to have access to that. One is a city source. We don't think we'll be able to have access to that. And one is a source from the King Cove Corporation, and we're still exploring whether or not we'll have access to that. So none of those were expecting to use for this project. We were requiring contractors to bring in all fill material. So we are looking at about 7,000 cubic yards of fill material for this project, so quite a bit.
That seems like we don't need any, what I was getting to, but that's fine. But I think we should find a way to go to bid again. Anyway, that's all the comments I have. Thank you.
Mayor Osterbach, can I add something? This is Annie.
Yes.
Okay. Just real quick, Mayor or Assembly Member Grunholt, I totally agree with you. We're going to try to figure out another way to go with this. I think part of our concern and hesitation was that the lowest bid was $4.7 million, with the ad alternate being $1.6 million each, which brings the project equivalently up to almost $7, $8 million. And then the highest bidders were around $8 million, and there was such a huge difference between the lowest bidder and the highest bidder that it just raised some issues and some concerns with change orders that could come, and if they did, we just flat out don't have the money to cover that. So which is why we decided to pull the bid. That being said, we are going to look at different alternatives, which will include possibly going out a different method, because this was notice of intent to or award to the lowest bidder, so it would have had to go to the lowest bidder, while instead maybe we could do an RFP, which is a request for proposals, and do it that way so we can look at other things, including their line items, which we were not able to see in this method. So we're looking at those different things. The other option maybe is to switch course and do a modular housing or modular building, which we're looking into as well. So we're definitely looking into it. Believe me, this is a top priority for the borough. It has been for a really long time. I think Mary and I are really disappointed personally on a personal level that this project can't move forward. But just there's a little bit more background.
Okay. Mayor Osterbach, can I comment, Chris?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I agree with Paul. I appreciate Annie and Mary still looking into other alternatives. I know we've been trying to save money for this project for quite a while, and I think it's something that we need to try to keep pursuing. We know that the current clinic they have right now is kind of in a hazardous area with the building next to it, although they did put a net around that building to kind of help protect. So what's the current amount that we have for this whole total project, Mary?
Assembly Member Babcock, we have about $4.7 million for construction funding available.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and another thing the Assembly needs to realize, too, when we opened the bids just recently, and I almost fell over. But anyway, you're talking about a building that's 3,100 square feet. And this is not a building that's going to be totally furnished with. It's not going to be furnished with anything. It's the building. Then they're going to have to get the funding to put everything together for the inside of the building. So 3,100 square feet at $8 million, if you got a calculator, it doesn't come out no way, no how. It doesn't pass the red face test. So I really wanted this done before this COVID thing got started. I was hoping to have this up and running by this fall. But anyway, you know, it's one thing to want it and have it in place, but you also have to be financially responsible when you build this thing. So we're going to work on it. I'm going to work with staff and whoever else and try and figure out what happened and why it got this far off track. But when you start paying $2,200 or so per square foot, it's hard to swallow. So we're going to keep working on this. We're not trying to stop it or slow it down. We want it built, I think, as much if not more than anyone else does, but it has to make sense. So anyway, other comments?
Seeing high bids like that?
Daily.
Oh. Wait a minute. Daily, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. You know, it is very disappointing, and I understand, you know, about the being able to have enough money and stuff, but yeah, if we just could keep working on it, and is there any way that they could, you know, use a different engineering firm different ways to look at it, you know, look at the why it came up, you know, why it's costing so much for the bidders and stuff. I don't, you know, I don't understand. I mean, and then the landfill thing, I mean, why couldn't they use, what did they say, the cities and the, I mean, why couldn't, I don't know, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
We could just, I don't know, maybe a different engineering firm or something, I don't know.
No, we are, you know, we just opened these bids, I think, a week ago or whatever. So in-house, we've been talking about our options on what we can do. And there's a lot of other things going on in the borough that we have to work on also. So, but, yeah, this is going to take a priority. We have to figure this out. We need to get this built. But we also have to be cautious about you know, there's just not an open-ended wallet out there to pay for this. And I mean, if most all of you have been in the borough building here in Sandpoint, and this thing I think is over 3,000 square feet, would you actually pay $8 million for this? you know, I don't think so. So there's something went haywire somewhere along the route, but so we've got some different options we're looking at. You know, I'm glad this came out, and we're doing this right now, but we don't have a lot of answers yet. We're still in that stage of trying to regroup and head down another road with this. So, but as we move along, I'm sure Annie will give you updates to the assembly as we move forward to this, because everybody knows the shape of the clinic that's over there. We know Cold Bay is a hub, and everyone uses it, and that's always been one of my selling points, is that, you know, it's not only used by the local communities that are there, with fish companies increasing, with the amount increase in false pass. Anytime you got moving machinery, fishermen and people running about, somebody gets hurt. So we really do need to, you know, we need to get this in place. And it's also a place where, now that the Coast Guard presence is there during busy seasons, they bring medevacs in, not off cargo ships and fishing vessels. So it really is how important it is. It's just that we got to be able to afford to put it in. So we're going to go forward and figure that out.
Mayor Osterbach, Chris here again.
Go ahead, Chris.
Do we maybe see an increase in the bids this time partially because of COVID, you know, and the logistics with COVID? So maybe once this stuff runs its course, things might get a little bit better.
Well, you know, we've talked about that, and I'm sure, and we built in a percentage, you know, I don't remember exactly what the number is, but we built a percentage in to deal with that. But these bids were so high that it's just, you know, when they opened the first one, I thought, well, there's always one that's high. And they opened the second one, and I went, uh-oh, this is not good. So anyway, we do have some work to do. We've got to talk to our engineers and people that do the projecting of where bids should be. We need to look at maybe some alternate ways of putting this thing together and getting it in place. But I don't know any more than that right now, because this is just brand new happening. So, but we are working on it. Other questions?
One quick question. Public info, I suppose, on who the bidders were. Who was the apparent or the low bidder on 447? Just out of curiosity.
Sure. Assemblymember Grandholt, the lowest bidder was a company called TC Construction. They were out of, I believe they're out of Wasilla.
Okay. I haven't seen the list of bidders. Maybe you can email the bid results. I guess that's public. Maybe sometime to everybody. Thanks.
Other comments?
Mayor Osterbach, Daly again. One more thing. It's just, you know, to say that you're going to put it off until 2022 or whatever, I think that would make people pretty, you know, mad and this and that. So, but yeah, moving ahead, just keep working on it and keep going with it, and you know, maybe just say we're going to, you know, just keep working on it. That would probably, you know, help people not get so anxious and mad about the whole thing.
Well, Daly, we're not putting it up to a time specific. It's like we're not going to put it on the shelf and 2022 we'll start working on it. We're working on it now, and if something breaks and it can happen faster, that's going to make everybody a hell of a lot more happier, I think, in the borough. So it's there's nothing being put off. It's, and I think Annie said it, you know, it probably would be next season maybe, but we don't know. We don't really know much of anything about it yet since this just happened. So we've just got to work through it.
One final question, Mr. Mayor. The 7,000 yards sounds like I don't know why we would need any. If it's all gravelly soil or, you know, moraine, I just don't understand that. Maybe you could explain that somehow later in a minimum, or why we need that much. It's 700 dump truck loads. That doesn't even sound right. But, okay, thanks.
No, well, I agree. So there's some things we have to go through and we have to look in this and see if something, you know, if a number got added or what happened. But anyway, once we figure this all out, we're going to bring it back to you. Other comments? Okay. We will be back with more information on that. So the second item is the Cold Bay Terminal project. Paul, you put this on there.
Okay, just real quickly, you know, there's a need for space. So there could be a short-term solution and maybe a longer-term solution, or the short-term could be just picnic benches out there just so people can sit or something. But anyway, there are different ways of looking at it. But, yeah, I've been at the airport three times since the virus for Lost Carolina, and it's a zoo all three times, and people are, and at some point people have to go through there, which I had to. And anyway, your voters aren't happy. You need to figure it out. So thanks.
That was a good one. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, I'm going to turn this over to Annie in a minute, but, you know, one thing you have to remember, this was probably the fastest project that ever happened opening a terminal. A terminal that wasn't even built for what it's being used for right now. We have been scrambling, and we're still not done. I mean, every couple of days they come up with a change. They want different locks. They want this, they want that. So we're still scrambling trying to meet the minimum requirements to keep that place open as far as TSA is concerned. So, and I think everybody does realize that with the COVID-19 and the airlines folding at the same time, it has put a big demand on that airport in Cold Bay. So because there were no airlines anywhere, you know, Alaska said, hey, we'll step in on our flights to ADAC and back. So that took so many hours, so much time just to get them in there. There's so much red tape to go through to bring that jet in there. So we finally got them in, and then the little commuter airlines were working from there. Two-thirds of the inside of that terminal was tied up because the contracts had been signed with the old Raven before they went under. And once they went under, those contracts got tied up in bankruptcy court. We couldn't do anything with them. So anyway, it has been one mad scramble since the day they filed bankruptcy and to where we are today. And we do know that, you know, it's not the best situation that you have right now. I and Annie have been talking about, you know, can we get property adjacent to it, you know, to where we could put another section out? We thought maybe when the new Raven came back on, it would take all of that stress off of it, because if you were in Dutch Harbor, why would you get on a commuter plane and fly to Cold Bay to get on a jet to go to Anchorage when you could climb on a Raven flight and go directly to Anchorage? So I was thinking a lot of that stress would be pulled off of it, but I have no idea what Raven's doing either, because it's just, everything is just strange. I am going to let Annie speak for a while.
This is Brenda. Could I say something?
Go ahead, Brenda.
Well, I just, you know, I've been discussing with a lot of people from the region, just in some of the work I do, trying to do collaboration. And a lot of people go on the Alaska Airlines ones because they can use mileage on there. A lot of times the Raven one is quicker, yes, but it fills up, and it's only a couple of days a week, and so, yes, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but you have all those other places that connect into Dutch Harbor, St. Paul, St. George, Nikulski, Atka, that also connect there. And so it's, they don't not necessarily like that trip in between on Alaska and Cold Bay, but sometimes that's the only alternative they have. And they don't see anything different in the foreseeable future. So it's just interesting that, and one of the ladies I talked to this morning, she goes, I see you guys are having a meeting today. And I just wanted to express that, you know, we have Raven, but I'm going on Alaska because Raven still isn't requiring people to wear masks. And so it's a choice issue, too. So this is going to, I think, be like this for a while until different things change, especially with the COVID. So, especially to see elders sitting outside. I know last year I was one of the people who was sitting in Cold Bay when I saw Polly got the option to go with friends and go for a ride, but other people don't. Some of the elders don't. And if they're standing outside because they don't want to be inside, we want to accommodate them. And I think having, a bench out there isn't going to hurt anything. Just a place where they can park themselves is just good. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, and I think as of right now, I don't think Raven's flying into Cold Bay. I think Daly said their page or whatever is out getting training, so they must be going to start, I think I heard the 18th or 20th or something, they're going to start flying into there. But in the meantime, I don't see any problem with putting benches out there. I was thinking more of permanent, indoor, because I know what the weather is like in Cold Bay when winter comes. And that those are things we can work on. Depends on what the assembly wants to do. It's not going to be overnight that it's going to happen, I don't think, because it's state land, state leases, a lot of hoops to jump through. But anyway, maybe I'll let Annie cover some of that and then get an idea from the assembly which way you would like us to go. Anyway, I'll be quiet for a minute.
All right, thank you, Mayor. So back to assembly. No, putting picnic benches, we can definitely look at that and see where those would fit on the lot. I know somebody mentioned parking lot. Yes, we realize that needs to be redone, but that's going to be hard to do right now during the winter, but we are looking at that as well. This has been a really difficult and challenging project, especially with COVID-19 and Raven going bankrupt and et cetera, like Mayor Osterbach has said. We are still working with TSA and the state on getting that building security protocols put in place, which is requiring us to put certain locks in certain areas that only certain people have access to. And Kurt has been fantastic, Kurt Utek, our terminal manager, on getting all that stuff up and running, along with Emil and others, on getting that out there. So we are constantly jumping at everything TSA says right now as well. I do understand the need to expand the facility. I hear you loud and clear. Definitely something we will look into. My brain is like starting to already spin with ideas and stuff of what we could do. Our lot is pretty small, so whatever we do, we'll have to expand, which, as Mayor Osterbach said, this is on DOT aviation lease land, which is going to require a lot of coordination with the state to get that done, and that definitely doesn't happen overnight. So, but we can start that process now. In the interim, we can try to figure out some stuff for our folks to sit outside. And we could do that probably relatively quickly, depending on how fast items can get out there. That's all I got, unless there's more questions.
This is Chris.
Mayor. Osterbach and Annie.
Chris.
I hear all this, and I've been in there twice, and it's just a madhouse when the big plane comes in, and I know with TSA now requiring more space, and that's going to be in lockdown, so that's going to be areas where people aren't even going to be able to sit. So I do agree with something outside. I think we can get some benches outside right now if the weather is nice, and we saw how fast COVID spread in Cold Bay, and Cold Bay you know, with talking with the mayor over there, you know, they can have as many as 200 people or more coming through, you know, twice a week. And we need to be cautious, you know, and allowing those people some place to stay because, we, like I said, we did see how fast COVID spread over there in Cold Bay, and you certainly don't want that to happen again. So.
Okay. Daily.
Yes. I did get a start date from Raven for my job, of course, and that is going to be December 18th is the first trip in here, and we had talked to them in the beginning about, you know, doing opposite schedule from Alaska Airlines, which would help, you know, help both airlines because of the, you know, room and whatnot up at the terminal. And so, yeah, they agreed that they would do Mondays and Fridays to start out with, just to start out with, and then later on, you know, when they get all up and running and everything, that they would add more flights on, probably. But that is the start date, is the 18th right now. And, yeah, just somewhere for people to sit outside even, you know, and that would help. Because, if you know, people don't want to stay inside because they have to wear a mask inside, so they like to go outside and eat and smoke or whatever, but that would help. And, yeah, so.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and, you know, all this, during all this time, Annie has been working with the airlines, and from the very get-go, Raven agreed. They knew that they couldn't have the jet and them in there both at the same time, so I think it's always been pretty much understood that that they wouldn't fly the days that the jet flew. So that's good to know on your startup date too there. So, yeah. So I don't know when the next. Yeah, we'll see on the benches what, how and when we can get them shipped out there. But you know, I had never, until you folks talked about it, I never thought about benches outside. I mean, I lived over in Cold Bay before, and in the wintertime, I never ever thought about sitting outside, but we could do that. Any other comments?
Well, when
on
you
this
got
one?
Nowhere to sit, you got to sit somewhere.
Okay, we could do that. Other comments?
This is Denise. I have one. What?
Denise?
Actually, for Annie, do you know how long Alaska Airlines is planning on being in Cold Bay? Like, is it indefinitely, or are you, you probably already said this before, like, how long, but refresh my memory.
I don't see them leaving anytime soon. They've not given me a definitive that they're going to leave, but they've definitely said they like flying there and that they will continue to do so as long as they can. So I don't see them leaving anytime soon.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, how long of a contract do they have?
5 years.
Okay. So they'd be there for 5 years anyway, maybe. Okay, any others?
I had one more thing to add, this daily again. There is some little tables and little benches or seats hooked to them at the city if they wanted to ask the city, the mayor or whoever here, if they could set those up there for now. They're outside table and benches, you know. That would work for a while until, you know, they get something else.
Okay. We will work on it.
Okay. Another thing, too, Raven's website is up, and I just went on there, and I wasn't thinking that she wasn't telling the truth, but yes, they are coming in on the 18th into Cold Bay. They should be in at 2:45 p.m. So their website is up and running now for reservations and checking on flights. So that's a good thing.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We think we got direction on that. The third one, Paul, in my process.
this is real great, but maybe we're due for a presentation from our processors. You know, you could invite them maybe February. We got the new Peter Pan. I think there's been some changes in Trident, and I don't know what a Pitt is doing, and I don't know what Lucia's doing, but anyway, it's about time for a presentation. There's some changes, and maybe it'll give us a rosy outlook, on how things are going to look in the future. I think they don't even have to show up. They just have to call in so they can do a short presentation. It'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, Paul. And just for everybody's information, we did invite the new owners of Peter Pan, and they said possibly in January, but they didn't want to commit to anything because they don't take ownership of the company until January 1. So probably January, February. And normally, yes, we have processors come and give us presentations at our planning session if they're available, and they've been doing that the last couple of years. So we can do that. We could try and get them in, even if we get one in January, one in February, whatever they want to do. But, and you're right, it would be just telephonically during our meeting. So that's not a problem there. We can do that. They'll probably be on the line of Mark Hickey as far as upbeat. So. Then, does anybody have any questions on the processors? Okay. Tom, False Pass Hydro Project.
Yes, I just wanted on the record, Alvin, because I didn't want to lose sight of this again. You know, like I said before, there may be, some chance to get some renewable energy into False Pass with the administration or something. So just wanted to plug that in, and like I said, we're about done with our feasibility study on that. We should have that pretty quick.
Okay, and I had a question for you on that. I had seen some project reviews or whatever. Is this the one where they were going to put a tidal one in, or is this an actual hydro project?
No, this is an actual hydro project. It would be called Ungerman's Creek.
Okay. What happened to the other one? Were they ever out there with the one that they were going to put in the Straits?
No, they did some studies on that. I think they're still looking at that, but, boy, that's, I don't know. That might be a little far reach, that one.
Okay. Okay, well, maybe have your city draft something up or whatever and send to Annie. And, I think hydro projects are great if we can figure out granting or funding or something for them and size. So the one that you have there, then, has an engineer been out there and told you that it's feasible and how many kW it would be or anything like that?
We're just waiting for that. We just made our last payment on that study at our last city council meeting, so we should see that shortly, and then we'll share that with Annie once we get it.
Okay, that sounds great. Any other comments on this item? Okay, we are down to reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. In the packet is my report, but I'll go over a few things. First is CARES Act funding. As you know, the borough issued an emergency assistance and economic stimulus grant, which we extended to December 4th. Due to time constraints and administrative capabilities, we only changed one item, which included increased cost of living as a COVID-19 impact. A lot of people wrote that under the other, and based on how we were looking at the things, that always had to go to the attorney, so we added that in. We have over 645 applications that have been brought in, and we've expended about $384,000 so far through November. And we are continuously, Glenora and Mary and I are going through those applications and sending them to Roxanne and Jackie for payment as quickly as we can. the breakout on how many in each community is in the packet for your review. Next, we're doing the indoor air quality upgrades. This is putting an air purification system in the King Cove and Sandpoint schools. Superior Mechanical made it out to King Cove last week. They left King Cove after completing that project and arrived in Sandpoint yesterday. So the idea of these systems is that it does kill the COVID-19 virus up to about 99%, I think, of the virus in the air handling system. So that should be completed soon. All the contractors really did follow strict COVID-19 protocols that we discussed with the communities, but they had to get tested 48 hours before leaving. They got tested immediately upon arrival. All the tests have came back negative, and then they have to social distance, wear masks, have food delivered, et cetera. So it's kind of exciting. We got that project completed before December 30th, which is fantastic. We're also working with the City of Cold Bay on the Community Center Conversion Project. That's coming along nicely. We anticipate getting the reimbursing them back for funds this week or early next week on that. So that's moving along, and that will provide some extra space for folks for being delayed or waiting also in Cold Bay. EAT funding, we've changed tack on that. At first, we were going to do Cold Bay Clinic purchases. But since we're not doing that project, we've discussed with Paul Mueller with EAT to move that over to Nelson Lagoon Clinic modifications due to COVID-19. So a grant agreement was sent to him earlier today, and he should be able to give us receipts pretty much immediately to reimburse him and meet the December 30th deadline. So with that, we have expended through November $1,060,000 in CARES Act funding. We're 107 short, which we've almost met since I wrote this report to getting the second payment request. We will be spending a significant amount of money in the next 3 weeks or next 20 days. One program we have initiated is the food distribution program. Meat boxes have been purchased for all households in each community. Notice for delivery has been posted on Facebook, but we're looking at doing False Pass and Nelson Lagoon on Saturday, Accutan next week, and then Cold Bay will be on the 30th, and then the week of Christmas is when the Coastal will arrive with King Coves and Sandpoints. So we've had to get the meat boxes from different locations just because of logistics of getting that much product to the community in a short amount of time. This will also include gift cards through the local store in some areas. Those that don't have local stores or I can't prepay will have food gift cards to places in the amount of $1,500. So those will also hopefully be distributed at the same times as the boxes. So that's a significant amount of money, almost $1 million in that food distribution program. I think it's very exciting, and I hope it helps the household members financially, and also putting some meat in their freezers. Are there any questions on that? Okay. So the other thing we're doing, KSCP, we did modify their CARES Act agreement to cover some additional expenses that they are incurring due to upgrades to the Sandpoint transmitter, also a transmitter to service Nelson Lagoon. The Accutan project, there's been some unfortunate delays that have been outside of KSCP's control with the weather and with COVID-19. So we have spoken to our attorneys. We can pay for a portion of the Accutan items, and they will probably try to complete that project in the spring. But there's just been some delays that have been out of our out of their control in regards to that. I know at the last meeting we talked about utility expenditures. I have done quite a bit of research on this and discussed with our attorneys, auditors, AML, and others, and basically we are unable to distribute funds for utilities on a per capita payment without assessment of individual need. And I cited a number in the frequently asked questions that goes into that in further detail. But essentially, they would have to fill out basically an application or a form saying that they have a hardship for us to do that, and that would be very difficult for us to implement that quickly. So I did look into that. It's just not an option at this time. We continue to host meetings with the borough community leaders. We actually had one earlier this morning with Eastern Aleutian Tribes, school districts, and the communities. It's a great opportunity for everybody to touch base on what's happening with COVID-19 in the communities, any changes that they have made. And I've actually found that to be one of the most useful meetings that we've had regarding COVID, because we can all like continually keep in contact of the status of things. So it's been very helpful, and I appreciate all the communities' participation and Eastern Aleutian Tribes and the school districts as well. Other than that, a lot of staff are still attending AML meetings to discuss COVID-19, State of Alaska Emergency Manager meetings, echoes about vaccines. There will be tons of information coming out to everyone about distribution and how the state's planning on doing that. And also Eastern Aleutian Tribes will be taking the lead on the vaccine distribution in the region. So there'll be a lot of information to come on that. And then we did close the Cold Bay Terminal in response to the pandemic from November 24th through December 1st, and it is now open, and we are constantly cleaning that facility. We've ordered air purification systems for it. We have an EMIS machine, and we're trying our best to keep that as clean as we can. So that's my update for CARES Act. Is there any questions?
Yes,
okay.
Annie, this is Daly.
Oh. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, when were the cards going to be sent out? I mean, like the gift cards and the, do you have a time on that again? I missed it.
So our goal is to have them be handed out with the food boxes. So for Cold Bay, those will be shipped out on Alaska Airlines on December 30th. So they'll coincide with that.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then,
yeah.
So are you guys, with the CARES Act funding, are you going to be able, is it going to be all spent by the deadline then, you think?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was the question?
You know, all the CARES Act funding, is it going to be spent by the deadline, you think, then?
To be honest, probably not. We're trying our hardest. I think I dream about this every night on how to do this, and we're working tirelessly to do so. I mean, who would have thought, honestly, trying to give away money would be so difficult, but the Treasury guidelines are extremely strict, and they keep changing. So short of them probably doing an extension, we won't expend all of it, but we will try our hardest to expend as much as we can and benefit the public as much as we can. So we're trying very
okay.
hard.
I don't know if any of that money could be used towards the terminal building at all. I don't know. Just an idea. Probably wouldn't have enough time to, or maybe
yeah.
could go towards the benches. I don't know. Just an idea.
It might be able to do the benches. That will promote social distancing, so that should probably work. But, yeah, it's hard because a lot of the stuff needs to be done by the 30th. And even just with the 6 or the 8 months or whatever, the 6 months I think we've been working with this, it's hard to turn around projects that quickly. So it's been difficult.
Right. Well, you guys have been doing a heck of a job, and I just want to thank all the work that all of you, you know, have put into this for us. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a team effort. All right, we did talk about Cold Bay Terminal already, so I'll skip that. We also spoke about the Cold Bay Clinic. Just a real quick update on helicopter operations. In 2019, Maritime Helicopters and the U.S. DOT agreed to cover 50% of the helicopter expenditures between Actan and Accoon through the Essential Air Service Program. And then on January 30th, 2019, the Borough and Maritime entered into a helicopter service agreement to pay the remaining 50%. This agreement does expire on December 30th, 2020. We don't anticipate having a decision from USDOT. Hopefully tomorrow is what they told me, but I won't hold my breath. But tomorrow I'm hoping to have a decision, and then I will have something before the assembly at the January meeting that if needed, we would backdate to December or January 1 for the new start of this. I just don't have all the numbers, so I couldn't even present something to you at this time without the decision from the federal government. So I just want you to be aware of that. That's on my radar. I just, like I said, I don't have the numbers. So I'll be working on that. Also, King Cove Road, not much to report other than that the opening briefs were filed on November 23rd, and the opponents will file their answering brief on January 15th, and then we'll file our reply brief after that. So the timeline shifted a little bit based off of something the opponents have done, but not much. So that's the status there. Other than that, I did want to say with GCI Fiber Optic, I know at the last meeting that was brought up, and we have since sent a letter to GCI asking for an update on why they didn't continue service to False Pass and Cold Bay. I haven't yet received a response, so I'll follow up on that, but we are following up on that as best as we can. And then also at the last meeting, the shared fish business or shared fish tax or landing tax litigation was brought up, and I did send a memo out to all the assembly, or Tina sent it for me, to all the assembly with a memo from our attorneys. But essentially, this really would have very little impact on the borough because we don't get much revenue from the fisheries landing tax. But we will keep an eye on that. It's really important and could impact us slightly. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. If there's no questions, Mary?
All right. Thanks, Mayor and Assembly. I'll keep it brief since Annie went over most of the projects I've been assisting with. We are still reviewing applications for the stimulus grant, as we've mentioned before. The deadline was December 4th, so review is ongoing. I did want to take this opportunity to, on the record, thank Lenora for all of her hard work on this project. Since September, she has really been patiently and diligently working with applicants to make sure they have all their paperwork they need to be eligible for full payment. And that effort really has been proven to be very helpful for a lot of people. So I do want to thank Lenora for all of her hard work on that stimulus grant program. Another small project I was involved with, Mask Up Aleutians East. We had a lot of people send us photos of them and their AED masks, so thank you for all of you who participated in that. We did pick a $50 Amazon gift card winner, so that was a fun project I helped with. And then other than that, other smaller projects I am involved with, of course, CARES Act program, food distribution program, very excited for that. Helped with the strategic planning work session, which we all participated in today. I am still working on the Cold Bay Terminal concessions RFP, and then, of course, all of the state and local meetings we're having in relation to COVID. So very brief, but let me know if there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Questions? Hearing none. Laura?
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. I've been continuing work on the Marine Highway narrative portion from the government and policy section of the strategic plan. As I mentioned before, this includes a petition for change.org that we drafted regarding the importance of the Alaska Marine Highway system to rural coastal Alaska communities. Now, since the last draft, we made a few edits, and we're continuing to do so. We also sent a copy of the latest draft to the executive directors of AML, SWAMC, and the Southeast Conference to get their feedback, which they have provided. So I'm working on another version. In addition, I'll take a look at the AMHS reshaping work group report to the governor. Ultimately, our objective is to have as many people throughout Alaska sign the petition as possible. This is going to be another avenue to highlight the importance of the ferry system and to help the governor and lawmakers understand our position. I am continuing research for our draft of the power cost equalization white paper. As Mayor Osterbach mentioned earlier this afternoon, this paper will include a history of the program as well as what has occurred in recent years. Also, during the last few weeks, I've been working on the AED 2021 calendar. It features a photo collage, which includes more than 40 photos of people who posted their pictures to the hashtag MaskUpAlutionsEast campaign, with their permission, of course. An electronic draft of the calendar was sent to administration and staff. A hard copy proof is sitting on my desk at the Anchorage office. Last couple of in-the-loop newsletters included information and a reminder about the December 4th deadline for the borough's EAES grant program. Yesterday's issue also had a notice for people who have already applied by the deadline. This notice suggested that folks who haven't received payment yet can call Glenora to find out more regarding the status of their application. In some cases, staff may need more information about the application. And in addition, yesterday's notice included information about the borough's food distribution program to the communities, which Annie mentioned a little while ago. Other miscellaneous items include updates to the website, including what I just mentioned, links to today's strategic plan workshop session and the assembly meeting, posts to Facebook regarding what I've already mentioned, and shared posts from EAT regarding confirmed positive cases in our region. As always, I'm happy to help get the word out about events or issues going on in the community, so please feel free to contact me and let me know how I can help. Thank you. Try to make this brief. Thanks very much. Let me know if you have any questions or comments.
Questions for Laura? Okay, hearing none. Next up is Ernie, but before I give it to him, as most of you probably know, Ernie has been on the AP for the North Pacific Council for the past 9 years. He's termed out, so he will not be on there this next year, but I wanted to give him a big thank you from, I'm sure from staff, from all the fishermen. Ernie, we appreciate the work you've done on there, and that's quite an achievement to sit there for 9 years and work on all the fish issues. So from all of us, I think we appreciate your work very much. Now I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. I really did enjoy all my time on the AP. Again, thank you very much. My report is in the packet. I will also try to be brief. First section's on the council meeting that is still going on. As an update, they are just about to the end of public testimony on Bering Sea specs. I know Charlotte will probably talk a little bit about specs, but I won't go too much farther than that. And so they'll probably do the motion on specs for Bering Sea and then Gulf as well tomorrow. A surprise is, I was surprised anyway, on the salmon FMP for Cook Inlet. They closed the area outside of 3 miles, the EEZ. I expected that they would go federal management delegating to the state. They didn't. They just closed it. We can talk about that, and we'll see if there's a lawsuit that stops it. But eventually we're going to have to see if they're going to close our area that's outside of 3 miles. We spent a lot of time talking about the rationalization of Bering Sea peacod for trawl catcher vessels. There's some good things still in there. I'm not happy with some of the things that happened on there, but it comes back again in April as another initial review. So we've got another bite at the apple, and we can talk about that a little bit if we want to also. Again, I do appreciate the opportunity to have served on the AP. The appointments will be made at the end of the council meeting, possibly tomorrow, but more probably on Saturday. A note, Kate Reedy is stepping down from the SSC. She's worked for the borough. She's worked in the borough on anthropological projects. So, and she's been a friend on the SSC. She thinks that they'll appoint Courtney Carruthers in her place. The next part of my report talks about the strategic plan. I was really trying to finish the limited entry white paper. It's mostly done. Didn't do it. But we did submit comments from the mayor on the proposed regulation changes that would provide additional opportunities for emergency transfers for widows or widowers. And anyway, we supported those. They go a long ways to achieving some of the goals we've been trying for. Fishermen's meeting, when we may talk about more in depth about some of these council things, we're having a fishermen's meeting next week on the 16th. I put a link to the flyer that has the Zoom meeting information. We probably won't publish that in Fish News, but it's here in the packet, and we'll email it out to fishermen probably tomorrow. Every winter we have traditionally two fishermen's meeting, one in conjunction with the Fish Expo. And we had a meeting on November 24th. That was kind of that meeting. And then we have one before or after Christmas with all the agencies to talk about any new rules or any enforcement or any observer stuff. So that meeting will be happening next week. I don't think there'd be a problem with multiple assembly members calling in, but I guess I'll ask for a ruling from Tina sometime. It's just kind of a public meeting, and anybody can attend, especially fishermen. Second page of my report, I did mention the seafood tariff relief program deadline of December 14th. Administrator Annie let me know that that was moved up to January 15th. So we've got a little more time if you haven't put in your application for the USDA STRIP program, I guess. And then finally, Alaska Boards of Fishery and Game. It's a big year for Boards of Fish and Boards of Game. Board of Game is our game management units, 9, which is on the peninsula, and 10, which is the Aleutian Islands, including Unimak, Akutan, et cetera. That meeting is this year. It was postponed because of COVID, but on January 21st, the Board of Game will meet on via web and discuss when they may reschedule it. Like the Board of Fish, they don't want to have any meetings except in person. Our Board of Fish shellfish meeting is still scheduled to meet in person in Anchorage on March 5th, and the proposals, there's a link to the proposals for that meeting and for the game. And again, proposals for our ARIM, both cod and salmon, those proposals are due April 9th. The cod meeting will most likely be October, and then the following February of 22 will be the salmon meeting. I've listed some of the meetings I've been to and upcoming meetings, and I'll take any questions. Again, thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Assembly.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Charlotte.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is available for you in the packet. As Ernie mentioned, I did include a little bit of information in my report from the groundfish plan team meetings on the GOA spec. I did just include the plan team stuff. I can talk about AP specs a little bit as well, but like Ernie said, the council specs will not be out until tomorrow. So for PCOD, I won't get into too much of the details. There's a lot of information, but it's kind of looking like good news. 2021 is estimated to be at B22%, which means it is above the B20 threshold that shut our fishery down this year. So that's good news. With 2022 at B28%, and the six-year projection be above the 40%, so that's pretty good. So the 2021 max ABC is about 23,000 tons, and 2022 is at about 38,000. The apportionment that was used is the same approach as last year, is the stair-step method, which basically just splits the two percentages that are proposed. So 2021 is at 33.8%, so about 7,900 tons, and 2022 is about 12,000, closer to just shy of 13,000 tons. So the AP did put out tables that break out the ABC into state GHL, and federal tax limits. So it looks like we probably will have a fishery. The federal tax for 2021 is at about 5,500 metric tons. The state GHL is at about 2,400 metric tons. So that's all good news. There were some concerns in the stock assessment with population dynamics and uncertainty, but there was no additional reduction in the max ABC that was recommended. So that's also really good. For pollock, maybe a little bit less good news. The ABC is set at 105,000 tons, which is actually a decrease of 3% from 2020. And 2022, ABC is decreasing to 91,934. There were some concerns in the Shelikov Strait Acoustic Survey biomass. Big drop in the 2018 year class. Projections showing a period of lower abundance and reduced harvest. And uncertainty if there will be a 2021 GOA survey. However, Martin Dorn also did not make a recommendation for an additional reduction. So that is good. There's also some info about surveys in there. 2020 was an off year for surveys, but there, like I said, they're uncertain if there will be a survey in 2021. The winter acoustics that were scheduled ended up being canceled due to scheduling issues with the Officer Dyson. I think it is good to note that there was no loss of survey information due to COVID-19. So I will go ahead and take any questions, I guess, about specs, if there are any, before moving on. Okay. Sorry, that's always a little bit messy to try and talk about. There's lots of numbers. So moving on to the EM project. The EFP team is reviewing, well, actually, we've already reviewed the revised EFP for 2021. And we just finalized that draft a couple days ago in a meeting with NIMS and the EFP team. We did have two additional CVs join the program for a total of 18 permanent systems and 3 permanent tender systems. And I think we have roughly like 8 mobile tender systems out there. So we're pretty much covering the entire fleet sans one vessel. And I have been working with NIMS to try and figure out how to improve the education and enforcement around the EFP, especially with tenders, because that's really a new thing for tenders to have to follow all these new rules. but otherwise, I think it's going really well. We'll have a preseason meeting coming up probably in the next month or so to get ready for A season. So moving on to the cod tagging project, I talked a little bit about that earlier. We've resumed preparations for the tagging study to take place in March 2021. ASSC is expected to approve funds for this project, but of course, we can't move forward until we know. We're expected to get a decision about funding this month, so hopefully I'll have an answer for you by the next assembly meeting. I reviewed the draft proposal. We got that all submitted, and I've been working with ASSC on the sampling design, COVID protocols, logistics, all that good stuff. I am also required to do an at-sea safety training to assist in field research, so I've coordinated with the other AFSC survey staff employees who do this annual training, so I'll probably be participating in that training in the next couple months. Moving on to mariculture, as you all know, I included the DNR lease in this assembly as a resolution that was just approved. So with that, I'll be working on the additional stipulations with the insurance broker for the corporate surety bond and the certificate of insurance. And then once those are submitted, that will finalize the lease. It's very exciting. moving on to the Fisherman's Data Portal. So this is kind of a fun project. I've included just a little draft of the data flow for you. I know it's probably not that exciting, but it basically shows you how we're moving the data from the vessels. We take that EM data and we move it through the processors in these kiosks and bring it to the cloud, to this portal, and then you can see it makes its way back to the vessel owners through a mobile app that they can use to log in and look at their own data. And that's also where we'll be pushing through the hotspot maps and the PSU rates to try and help help the fleet avoid famine. And I am also working on the first official report, the quarterly report for that project. Other than that, we're, of course, doing ongoing strategic planning. I have some new directives for that. And I'm always trying to work on this literature review of hatchery famine. I will have it one day. It just always seems to be other things to work on. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Okay. Emil.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Just been keeping up with Annie and Kurt there and the demands of TSA over in that terminal, locks and lights and signage, and been working up here at the school personnel here and False Pass and just going through the schools and trying to get some things taken care of out there. We got some circulation pumps that need to be replaced in Actan, and we got some leaky pipe and some circulation pumps that are obsolete that no longer exist for Falls Pass. So just trying to get new things up there, and I'm going to have to get replumb some situations there that we got also with that, and then just been working on some of this. Strategic planning things with the maintenance and everything going forward with that. Just waiting on back on the quotes for a contractor to come out and through out there in Accutan. If hopefully we'll be able to get out there. We're on the backup plan right now on the school for the heat, and those pumps need to be replaced because they were they're froze up and no longer good there either. So just keeping my jobs and my everything just kind of just keep my projects, just getting them completed and keep them going and staying pretty busy even though I'm, you know, kind of grounded, not really being able to get out and do things in our different sites. So, and that concludes my report. And if you guys have any questions.
Thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil? Okay. That concludes the reports from the staff. I have one comment I want to make on a letter that was sent out to the Assembly, and it was from the Financial Fishermen Coalition. I need to make a correction. I know all of you got the letter. It hasn't been talked about here. There's one paragraph on the third paragraph down. It says, after having several conversations with Mr. Weiss, we have been informed that the borough will not be submitting or supporting any candidates for appointment to the AP. This is not a true statement. We didn't submit a name to the AP. In the minutes of the meeting that you just approved at this meeting, I stated in there that we would submit and support a name if there was a name brought in that the Assembly agreed upon. I never got a name. I was asked by them on a couple of names. One of them was actually my brother. I went down after the meeting and I talked to him, but he wasn't interested in doing it. They knew that our employee in the Natural Resource Department was not interested in that position. I had conversations with the borough administrator and with Charlotte and with the governor's office at the time. I told them that we would not be putting her name in with the workload that she has right now, dealing with all the issues that she has. And all of the issues that she has are projects that have been approved by the Assembly, and she needs to complete these projects. So there's no way that she would have the time to sit on the AP and do the work that she has before her. So all I wanted to do was correct that, if they had come up with a name, I would have written a letter, brought it to the Assembly for their approval also, and I would have called the governor's office. I just wanted to make that correction because having information out there that is incorrect on where I stand on this is not acceptable to me. So, thank you. Okay, so do we have any Assembly comments?
May I ask about this, Daly?
Go ahead, Daly.
The radio station mentioned Mekitan and what about Cold Bay? You know, the repeater that they were going to set up here in Cold Bay for the radio station.
Mayor Shabak, I can answer that question. Yeah, I can answer that. I actually spoke to Austin yesterday, and the FCC approval has been approved this week or late last week, so they've got that approval, so they'll be working on getting that up and running very quickly, but they couldn't do anything until they got the FCC approval, so that's for Cold Bay. Acutan, I briefly mentioned that due to some delays, that project will probably get completed in the spring, but they also have FCC approval for that one now, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Others?
Paul picked a bad week to go vegan. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So, Laura, do you have any other public comments?
No comments, Mayor Osterbach. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So our next meeting date would be the second. My calendar ran out. Be the 14th of January. Wow. So if there's no other comments, I would like to hear a motion for adjournment.
Make a motion for adjournment.
Make a motion.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a good
holiday.